Speaker for this evening, Carolyn from Bainbridge.
Thank you. And can you hear me okay?
Yes.
No? Yes? No? Because you're shorter.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Now? Okay. So happy birthday, everyone that has birthdays this month and even for today. And thank you for being here. Neil, thank you for asking me to come and speak today. It's really special since this is my month birthday, and I cannot believe that I actually have a coin. 48 years. Oh my God. You know, unbelievable. And I got this from Clarkston, Washington. I was born in Lewiston, Idaho. And so to just tell you a little bit about my story, and I say it's my story and how I came to know God, because that was a really scary thing for me when I came through those doors. But I look at now, as I look back and say, what was God's plan for me? Because I didn't think I had one. I really didn't. I was born in Lewiston, Idaho in 1942, and my mom and dad were just the most amazing people. But I was put there, I think for a reason. They were the biggest drunks you've ever seen. Loving, beautiful people. And I had no idea that there was another way to live. All my family was like that. My mom, she got married when she was 14. She had her first child when she was 15. She had me when she was 16. The first one passed away full term. Then there came me. And then the next one, a few months, 9 months later, and she died. And then my sister Pam, and then my twin brothers. So we had this wonderful family, six of us. And I was so fortunate because I could sneak out my bedroom window at 12 years old, pay my sister a quarter so she wouldn't tell on me, and I'd go out and drink. And I remember my first drink, I was only 6 years old. Kurt and Pam all went to the hospital at the same time to get their tonsils out, and I got to go to the bar with Mom and Dad. And of course, they were busy, 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 and I was sitting down drinking beer. And oh, I thought, you know, I'm like the big people. Mom and Dad made beer at home. We got to drink it. And it was just something, like I say, all of us did. It was no big deal. So by the time I was 14, I was a wild thing. And I remember riding around, I see some motorcycle people here, and that's where I wanted to be. And I remember running around with that crew, and I was actually going to get a cross on my forehead. I was so drunk. I was so wiped out. And I got home that night. Thank God I didn't get the tattoo, because my life would not have ended up being what it ended up being a few years later. But I remember we went to church every Sunday. And I went to catechism. I wore the little white gowns, the veil. I knew I was going to be okay. And Mom and Dad, you know, it's interesting how all of a sudden our family just absolutely fell apart. And it fell apart when Mom and Dad got really bad. And we moved to Moses Lake. I was 15 then. And Mom and Dad kind of went their separate ways. They got back together, thank God. But during that time, I decided that I would get married too. So at 15, I made my wedding dress. And if there are any women out here that maybe had kids when they were teenagers, I was a good example. I made my wedding dress when I was 15, and I looked and said, who do I want to marry? I had a choice. There was Ed, and there was Kay, and there were a few others. But Kay was a Mormon. That man did not drink. And I had to beg him, I remember, to bring me home a six-pack of beer. He said, Carolyn, that should last you. I said, can't you get a half a case or a case? And he said, well, yes, but it should last you for a while. But then there was Ed. And Ed was this handsome guy who was, he was the captain of everything. He was 5 years older than me and star football, basketball. And he drank a fifth and a half of McNaughton's a day. Who would I have picked? Of course, Ed. Because with Ed, what could I do? I could quit school, I could have all my friends over, I could play cards, and I could drink as much as I wanted. And I did. And back then, they didn't really talk about the fact that if you were pregnant, you couldn't drink. I mean, who would have ever said something that stupid? So, of course, I drank with both my kids. And I had two by the time I was 17. And we really had a good time. I stayed home with my kids. I took care of them. And I wasn't a falling down drunk. I just drank. And I look back on those years and I think, why did it not get really out of hand? And I think part of it was I was a very good seamstress. So when I would drive a car, I would make sure that I went right down the edge, you know, with my left tire so that I wouldn't go over the center line. And the only time I ever got picked up was I was only going 5 miles an hour as I was taking the babysitter home. And the police stopped me and said, excuse me. And I got out of that. I did not have to go to jail. But I don't know how many women they really picked up back in 1960 at the time. So I could always flirt my way out of going to jail or whatever needed to happen. But I was in this wonderful group of people that I didn't stand out as far as my alcoholism was concerned, because Ed was a plumber, his pipe fitter. We traveled all around. And they were heavy, heavy drinkers. So my life just, you know, it just went around like everybody else. I remember when I went to, I decided to go to work when I was 21 years old. My kids were in school, and I went, I'd never worked except 1 week at Fulton Street drugstore, and I went to Moses Lake, and I put out job applications all over town. And I got a call. How in the heck did that happen? That I was sitting at home with rollers in my hair, watching TV, kids at school, and I get this call. And they said, Mrs. Gillen, can you come to work today? And I said, well, who's calling me? Well, it was People's Bank. People's Bank, and they're going to hire me? And I said, of course I can. He said, how soon can you get down here? I said, real fast. Well, back in those days, and none of you were probably old enough to remember, that Social Security got their checks in the mail, right? Not automatic, not, you know, they got it in the mail. We had every senior citizen in the world lived in Moses Lake. The Air Force was there, the Job Corps was there, and I got 15 minutes of training before the bank opened. I was really good in math, and I remember they said, Carolyn, are you a fast learner? And I said, absolutely. Now, I had never cashed a check in my life. I had never had more than $5. And the doors opened. They said, here's an in button. And put the yellow in there. And when you pay out money, put in a pink slip. And make sure that people sign the back. I said, okay, I can do that. And so here I am working away. Didn't know we needed to have breaks. Didn't know we needed anything. I didn't have to go to the bathroom for all those hours. And our manager came up and pat us on the butt. Because back then, men could do that. To tellers, okay? So I was just really, really good. They said, whatever you don't understand, set off to the side. Why am I telling you something like this? Because I want you to know that at the end of the night, I had a stack of stuff like this, and still everybody was drinking in the bank. It was okay to drink. You could go out to the lunchroom and they had booze there. I didn't get lunch that day, but I couldn't. So that night, they said, we'll help you, and I was off $3.76, and that was the most I was ever off. Now, the reason I talk about that, too, is because that bank, I was 27 years with a bank, and during that time, many, many things happened. So I was working at a bank in Longview, Washington, and things were really not good. My first husband, we were married for 13 years, and I was the dumbest thing that ever walked the face of the earth. I was beaten down so badly. He was a good man, but he was a drunk. And we lived together probably 3 years out of 13, because he would always go to another town. He would always leave the kids and me. So I was at Longview, and I took Ed when he was home. I used to have to take him to detox, usually every other week, but I didn't know what it was. I'd take him to the hospital, and they'd give him a little shot of something, and we'd come home. And this one particular time, they said, Carolyn, how much does your husband drink? And I said, well, about a fifth and a half a day. A fifth and a half a day, he's only 5'10", blah, 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 blah. And you're crazy. And I said, well, no. I mean, nothing's wrong with that. And so he sent us over to Portland so that Ed could get on phenobarbital and, you know, go to a psychiatrist. So we went over there, and on the way back, we stopped at Waddles. I don't know if any of you know where Waddles is, but it was a magical place. And that day, I had 3 triple martinis. I was very small. I'm bigger now, but I was very small back then. I drank those 3 triple martinis. I came home. And I don't know what happened the next 5 days. I was still in bed. How do you call the bank and say, just happened to have the flu? But I made up some kind of story. I don't know what in the heck it was. The next week, remember back in 1967? There wasn't a lot of talk about alcoholism. But on that day, that magical day, in the Longview paper, there was this man on the first on the front page of the newspaper, and his name was Bob Maxwell. I'll never forget him. How could he have blue eyes with a black and white paper? But I knew he did, and dark hair. And all of a sudden, I looked up from my teller window, and there he was. And I went, Mr. Maxwell? And he was making a deposit. And that was all about the early signs of alcoholism in that first page of the paper. And he was opening up a referral center. And I went back. By that time, we had breaks, and we had lunches at the bank. And I went back, and I started reading. And they talked about early warning signs of alcoholism. They talked about social drinking. Social drinking was a person that had 1 or 2 drinks periodically. I thought, who in the heck do I know that drinks 1 or 2 drinks periodically? It wasn't me. And I looked back at the doctor that delivered my 2 children. He had to take oxygen both times because he was drunk. Every member of my family, I was amazed. But I decided I was going to go see Bob Maxwell. So I marched down there, and I told him about everybody else but me. And because I wasn't that bad, I wasn't as bad as all the rest of them, for God's sake. But I knew in my heart of hearts that if I didn't do something, things would get one hell of a lot worse. So Bob ended up calling Betty. And Betty was an RN. The referral center was down in the hospital at Sacagawea Hospital. And he called Betty down, and she was an RN, and she had a thermos with her, and I knew she had booze in there. I mean, why wouldn't she, right? It was during the middle of the day. And so he said, Betty, I want you to take Carolyn to a meeting tonight. And I thought, what kind of a meeting is that? Betty said, come on, I'll take you. So where did I go? I went to a church. I went to an Al-Anon meeting. And I had been so bad, I could not comb my own hair. I couldn't dress myself. I was just, I remember being only an inch tall. And I walked in that meeting, and those women looked at me, and there were no men in there. In the other room were all the old men in AA. And for some reason, I was in here with these women. And they looked at me, and I couldn't say my name. And by the time the meeting was over, I wanted them all to go out and have a drink with me, and they just laughed. And they said, Carolyn, let us love you until you can learn to love yourself. We want you to know that you've been introduced to a program that will change your life. And all I could think is, God, I need my life to change. But, you know, in the big book, it talks about 50% of people that walk through those doors, at least back then, were agnostics. And I had lost all of my, any feeling or anything, any belief that I had in God, because of many, many things that had happened up to that point. And I remember them saying, just trust us. Trust us. You don't ever have to drink again. And you don't have to take those funny little pills, Carolyn. And I, you know, I never got to smoke marijuana. Darn it. I mean, everybody talks about how great it was. I never got to smoke. It wasn't the young thing. And I didn't take illegal drugs, but I had 6 doctors that were giving me diet pills, and I weighed 105 pounds. I was really, really skinny. But Ed didn't like me heavy either. So of course I took diet pills. And I took sleeping pills. And that RN said, no more, Carolyn, we're tossing this away. And I thought, okay, just do it. And I remember calling in and quitting the bank that day. And I thought, I'm going to get well. And they had 7 women that decided to be my sponsor. And it was just kind of like, we're going to take care of you. And like I say, there weren't women treatment centers back then, at least nothing I knew about. But here were these, and I call them angels today, that they came and they just surrounded me. And if you've ever read that little deal about just for today I'll be happy no matter what. And they would go ahead and mark off what days I had to recite that, day after day after day. And they said, Carolyn, if you want a drink, you call any of us, any time of the day, it doesn't matter if it's 4 o'clock in the morning. You call, and before you drink, you convince us on why you need to drink, and we will all come join you. Okay, fine. Sounded really, really good. And for some reason, the right people at the right time were at that meeting that said, we're going to change your life. You are going to have to do some things, but we are here for you. And I believed them. And they were there every step of the way. Mm-hmm. Now, did I really identify with AA at that point? I did, because they said, Carolyn, the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Al-Anon are the same as AA, except you take a look at the fact that you are the one that is not going to drink today. And I didn't know if their husbands drank, who drank. I didn't care. But I saw something that I wanted. It was completely different than anything that I'd ever experienced in my life. So, meetings every single day. Every single day. I was just saying that I think that I went to a meeting every day for my first 27 years. I don't think that I ever missed a day. Sometimes I'd go 2 and 3 times a day. I ended up going to AA after one of my moves. I went to Pennsylvania and I got into a group that these women, they talked all the time about going out and drinking. Now I've been sober for 5 years. Going out drinking? You gotta be kidding me. For some reason, I didn't even know that Al-Anon women drank. And it's okay if they drink. You know, if they drink, that's fine. But they wanted me to go with them. And I said, I don't drink. They said, then get in the other room. So I marched into the other room, and by that time there were some women in there. And there were some men that were younger than 90 years old. And, you know, then I started listening, and because I had such a good foundation already, I could hear what they said. And all these years, I've never walked into a meeting that's been a bad meeting for me. I can sit here, and it's just like the first day I came in. And I can look around those faces and say, how much are we alike? And we have a choice. I had a choice. My choice was, I didn't know it, but my choice was sobriety at the time. One day at a time, I got stronger and stronger and stronger. My parents didn't like me. My husband at that time didn't like me. None of the construction people liked me because I didn't drink anymore, and I was a whole hell of a lot more fun, they thought, when I was drinking. And they thought that I was criticizing them, and I wasn't. I just knew I didn't want to drink anymore, but it was different. So I look at that, and, you know, during those years, I quit the bank. I started doing volunteer work, and I got to go work with Bob Maxwell, and I got to answer his phones. I listened to what he'd say, and then I would answer his phones. Hi. And slowly but surely, I got to work in the field with them. And eventually, I went back to Moses Lake, and I got to be a referral center director for a number of years. And Ed, my first husband, and I got a divorce. And I haven't only been married once, nor twice, but 3 times. And my second marriage, I was married for another 13 years. And during that time, and I mean, he was, like, Ed was the man of my dreams because he drank a fifth and half a day. George, on the other hand, was a referral center director just like me. We loved AA, Al-Anon, Alateen, and he smoked 3 packs of Winston cigarettes a day. And I loved smoking. I could never smoke around Ed. But with George, it was heaven. Until a month later when he said, I've quit because you cough so much. But anyway, we had a good another 13 years together, and we raised 6 kids. 5 of them were teenagers, my 2 and his 4. And he was the director of Cedar Hills, if any of you know where Cedar Hills was. And I just want to mention, during that time, do some of you know Rose Hill and George? Rose and George. You do. And so if you ever met them, they lived up here in Squim for some time, and she was a woman that I sponsored, and they actually named one day in Seattle after her because of all she did, the detox wagon, and she worked out at Cedar Hills. But we got a divorce. We only knew each other. We only saw each other 4 times before we got married. So 13 years was pretty long stint. But I remember, you know, when I think back to Mom and Dad and seeing the love that they really had, and after they got sober, Mom got sober. She now has 43 years. My dad got sober 7 years before he passed away at 59. And so the love that I saw in their life before and after, I say today that's what I have with my Charlie after we've been together 30 years. I broke the 13 years. How about that? But I went back to banking. We flipped a coin. Who was going to stay in the field of alcoholism? Him or me? So I went back to banking, and my career just absolutely soared. Because during that time, because I had that experience, I got to be a human resource manager for the bank. It's one of the first women senior vice presidents. I'm not saying that to brag, you guys. I hope you understand that. It was really from this, how do you become this? And I know without a doubt, it was because of what I learned here, that I could help other people, that I could be the very best I could possibly be. And they would let me do interventions on their managers. And they used to say, thank God, Carolyn, you're on this side, because they knew I would be like a Bonnie and Clyde out there. I would have robbed banks. I would have done anything. I would have. And so I wrote the fraud prevention. I helped with over 200 and some arrests because I intuitively knew. So if any of you were bank robbers out there, I don't know. But if you were, good thing you didn't walk into my bank, because I knew. Because it takes one to know one. And my life would have definitely been on the dark side. So why does it happen that we could go this way or we could go this way? Why does it take place? All I know today, it is truly a God thing for me. Someone that had no faith at all. You read the promises, you read the steps, you read the traditions, and you look back at different things that happened in your life and say, how else could it be if God didn't have a plan? He said to me the first week, Carolyn, God as you understand him, it does not have to be religion, and I believe that. It can be a doorknob, it can be anything. Just know it's not you. And so, because I had a strong pipeline to God for many, many, many years. And then something happened to both Charlie and I. 3 years, well, it was about 19 years ago, right after Charlie and I were together, he ended up with cancer. And we just thought, oh my God, our whole lives, you know, what are we going to do? Can't lose Charlie. But he went through it, and he was in remission 3 years ago. And I look back and say, how in the heck did it happen that I got cancer? How did that happen? I've been so good. I mean, I haven't drank, I haven't smoked, and I didn't smoke in 45 years, 43. Why? Well, why not me? But Charlie and I had gone through some really tough times. I worked for a bank, and at 50 years old, I decided to leave the bank and go out and start a mortgage company. Never took a loan in my life. Well, after all, I'd never been a teller in my life. Why can't I do this, right? So we ended up with 13 offices, 200 employees, and what happened to the market about 7 years ago? And Charlie and I spent every bit of money we had, and we had a lot because we were retired and had saved up a lot of money. We spent everything we had to keep everything going. And we had 750 credit scores that went like this. And we thought, how on earth can we ever be okay? Are we going to stay on Bainbridge where everybody knows us and knows that we're losing everything? We said, yeah, we're going to stay here because we have a story to tell. But it was tough. And so 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, Charlie got diagnosed with cancer again. And I went to the doctor because I'd put on about 10 pounds in a couple of weeks and thinking, what in the heck is going on? So the doctor ends up sending me over to get x-rayed. And they decide nothing was wrong. And so they called Charlie and they said, how are you doing, Charlie? He said, fine, but I think we're going to lose Carolyn. And my doctor goes, what are you talking about? Get in here. So he went in. He sent me back to get a CAT scan. And he said, go back and see Dr. Keyes. I go back, and all of them are crying in there because he's been my doctor for 20-some years. And he said, we think 98% sure you have ovarian cancer. I looked at Charlie, and I said, you know, honey, we do everything together. We lived on a boat. We do everything together. But I don't want to do this with you. I just don't. Well, that was 3.5 years ago. Now, I look pretty good, don't I? I just completed my 55th chemo session. 55th. Two surgeries. Didn't miss any work except for twice I've been in the hospital for surgery. But you know, it isn't the end of the world. It isn't the end of the world. And I had never really been touched with this type of thing before. And I go, I can handle anything, as long as I'm sober. I didn't know if I could when I heard about Charlie. And like I say, I didn't want it for me. But what it did for us, and I look back, especially for me, Charlie always had a Christian background. He got sober, and I tell his story, because he didn't get sober in AA. He got sober at a green light, red light, over in Auburn, and asked God to relieve his alcoholism. And it worked. For me, it didn't work that way. But I knew that he had a strong faith in God. And I said, Charlie, I'll go to church with you. This was way back when. And he said, no, that's okay. And so he went to AA with me. Well, this time, here we are. And my little nephew comes to the house and he said, okay, everybody in the family, we're going to church. And I said, Joaquin, I have my program. I have a pipeline to God. He said, I don't care, we're all going. I said, okay, fine, Joaquin, we'll go. And we marched off to church, okay? And that was 3 years ago. And 3 years ago, is my God different today than when I walked through those doors or when I was 15 years sober or when I was 25 years sober? So much different for me. Doesn't have to be for anybody else. And, you know, I looked at, do I really talk about God? But yes, I need to. Because I think that for me, that's what I needed. I needed that extra, everything is going to be okay. I never really thought about ever dying. After all, I'm strong. I'm not going to go. Well, there will come a time. I now know. But I know today, I'm not afraid. I was so afraid when I walked through those church doors. And today, I know, without a doubt, I can close my eyes and I can see his warm arms circling me and saying, job well done. And will I see my mom and my dad? My mom's still alive. Don't go away yet, Mom. We just celebrated her 90th birthday, and she worked for me up until 3 years ago. But my dad, my grandparents, so many people that I just know are going to be there. And it gives me a different feeling than I had before. So God, as I understand him, today is a lot different, like I say, than the different periods in my life. Charlie and I are doing really, really good. You know, we have lots of fun. I still work. I love what I do. And what I love most is I can sit down with somebody, you know, taking a loan application, and see maybe there was credit issues 5 years ago, and say, so was there an issue back then? And most of the time they say, well, yeah, you know, I had a drinking problem. Really? So what are you doing today? And then just a big smile and knowing that it's okay. You know, it's going to get better and better and better. So in our family, and I mentioned that I was down in Clarkston, I got this cute little coin. And, I mean, look at this. Hand-painted. 48 years. And so we went to our family reunion, and now a lot of the old-timers are gone. Got one uncle that's 98, my mom was 90 there. But you see all these little ones, and nobody was drinking. There wasn't one bottle of beer there. I'm going, that isn't what it used to be like. And Charlie and I went to a meeting in Clarkston. We walk in. I love going to meetings down there. And who's chairing it but my cousin? And I looked at him, and I went, Stan, is that you? And he goes, yeah. He said, I can't believe I'm seeing the two of you there, because we didn't talk about sobriety, did we, Charlie? Did not talk about sobriety. But, you know, just that family connection. And I heard somebody say, you know, my kids are still out there drinking. And I'm sorry to hear that, but don't give up. Don't give up. I still have a very good relationship, or had a very good relationship, with my first husband. And he was on dialysis. He's going to the doctor twice a week for his dialysis. And we would talk once or twice a month, because we became good friends again. And he would always be happy when he had talked with me, and his wife would let him talk to me. And we just talk about the good times and how the kids were doing, the grandkids were doing. And he died last Thursday. And it was really sad, because we did have some good years together. My kids said, you know, you never badmouthed Dad. And I said, no, because he was sick. You know, he missed out on a lot. And I'm sorry he did, because I got to spend so many quality years with my kids. And today, Charlie and I have just the two, but I've got four grandchildren, four great-grandchildren. My oldest great-grandchild is 16. My mom is only 90, and our family lives to be at least 100. So I told Mom she's got to hang in there for at least 7 more years so that Connor can be 23. I don't want him to have to get married, you know, at 15. He'd already be married and have a child. But hang in there, because I want 6 generations. Anybody in this room have 6 generations? Think not. Maybe 5. But we spend so much time with our family. Our house is full. And Charlie is the best cook ever. He takes great care of me. So I look at everything, like I say, and 48 years ago, I was scared to death. I was just so frightened. There was nothing left of me. I know if I had have kept drinking, I would not have probably lived more than 5 years. I didn't realize I was that bad. You know, you look at how far along are you? And I remember when I worked in the field, they talked about somebody only being 5 months pregnant. You know, hardly anybody knows. They might show a little bit. And I didn't know that anybody knew how far along I was. But I remember Ed's aunt coming to me one day, and she said, Carolyn, did you stop drinking? And I said, yeah. And she said, thank God. She said, you drank so much. But she didn't drink, and she could see it. So how fortunate I have been. And like I say, it's one day at a time. Those of you that are celebrating 30 days or less, hang in there. Because I can promise you, it will get better. You will have ups and downs. Maybe you won't. I think you will. I think you will. I mean, I just, I just think that that's life, okay? But we've got the tools. That serenity prayer saved me time after time after time. And even though I didn't have a God, I had a pipeline, and I'd go, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I would turn it over, turn it over, turn it over. Because I had no other, I did have a choice, but I decided I had no other choice. I had to let go and let God. And just say, you know, but for the grace of God, there go I. And my life couldn't be fuller today. Like I say, I'm so grateful. We travel so much. I still get to work, travel, pray, come to church, come to AA. And so thank you guys for letting me talk. Say thank you, Carolyn. She and I could be twins.
And thank you for coming back
in. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And I only know two groups that actually give cards to everybody. How special is that?
Yeah, it's pretty special.
Thank you.
Another round of applause for Carolyn. Please remember to help clean up after the meeting, and we'll circle and close with the serenity prayer. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you to turn off your cell phones. So, turn off your cell phones during the speaker, okay? Cards are up here in front.
Yeah, Sally.
Thank you.